a series called Resourced, and it's about discovering how God has intention for the finances and resources that he pours into our lives and circumstances. And what we're discovering is that when we take the finance and resource that he has for us and multiply it by his intention, by God's values and his intention, something incredible happens. There's this exponential factor where we get resourced, but also we get to be a resourcing for people around us. Our families get resourced. We have to resource our neighbors, our cities, our church. It's a beautiful thing. Now, last week, we know that many people follow our messages on podcast, and that's an exciting thing. I know some of you that work on some Sundays tell me that on Mondays, man, you're listening to the podcast. Well, last week we had some technical difficulties. And so for our podcast crew that's out there, I want to tell you that last week as we began this series, I'm just going to recap it very briefly. We found that God uses finance as one of the primary ways that our faith gets tested. And we looked at the reality through the feeding of the 5,000 that said that Jesus actually was using that as a test. He was testing his disciples to see if they were going to pass two tests. One is to realize where the source of our resource actually comes from. And we discovered that God is the source. It's not my employer, it's not the government, and even my granny. It's God alone. He is the source of my resource. And the other test that he was posing to his disciples is that, will you trust me even when things look impossible? When there is no way that these little meager things would actually meet these huge needs? And God said, hey, with me, nothing is impossible. Even in the realm of our finances and our resourcing. And so today we pick up on another passage of scripture that I believe that this in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 34, we see this amazing passage where Jesus is going to take us into some deep waters regarding resourcing. And what God does here, what Jesus does is he paints a very, very clear picture about a fork in the road. And this is very important for us to capture. And what we're going to do is we're actually going to look at the very last verse in this section in Luke chapter 12, verse 34 says this: for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's one of the probably most famous things that Jesus said about our treasure, our resourcing, our finance, is that our heart, that center of our spiritual and physical life, actually is linked dramatically to what we treasure. If you follow someone's treasure, you're going to find out where their heart truly is. And vice versa. If you get to know someone's heart, you're going to find out what it is that they treasure. Last week, we talked about how our spiritual lives are linked with the way that we view resourcing. That money is actually spiritual. That's why Jesus said, you cannot serve both God and money. It's because money is actually spiritual. You're chasing after an idol if you think that you can love money like you love God. And see, this fork in the road, we've actually got a little picture up here, the fork in the road. What we're going to see here in Luke chapter 12 is that Jesus is saying there are two very dramatic different ways that we can chase after our treasure on this earth, this resourcing. There's a natural way. And we're going to see Jesus paint some vivid pictures about what this natural resourcing would look like. But there's also a way that he would ordain that are filled with God's intention, his values about our money and our resourcing. and they're very divergent. Now, why is this important? Because, see, what we view about our treasure, our heart's going to go down that same path. Do you catch it? See, if I go off to the left and follow this natural path of resourcing and what I think about money and where my source of resource comes from, if I go down a natural path, I am dragging my heart along that path. And if I go down this natural path, what happens is I get further and further away from God's intent for my life. And when I do that, I'm telling you, we're going to get into trouble, not just in the area of our finances and our resourcing. We're going to get into all kinds of trouble in all kinds of other areas of our lives because our heart has been drug away from the very things that are God's intent and his values for us. But there's another path. And that is a supernatural path that is designed and framed by the very intentions and values of God himself. And he's going to paint this picture very vividly for us in this section of scripture. And so we're going to begin now in Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And there's a crowd that's gathered, and it says this in verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Well, that sounds reasonable. Hey, there's an inheritance. We got two brothers here, and one is hogging all the money. But see, Jesus sees what's really going on in this guy's heart, and so he replies this way, "Man, who appointed me as a judge or arbiter between the two of you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." See, right here, Jesus kind of throws it down and begins to paint this picture of these two divergent pathways. One is natural. One is like, hey, I deserve what is coming to me. I'm my money. Give it to me. Jesus, make him give it to me. But there's this natural way that's actually the intention and the values of this world is to just get all that I can get. It's very natural. I just want to be this pool of collection. I want it all for me. But Jesus says very clearly, the abundance of your possessions is not what life is all about. There's another pathway that I want to take you down. So then Jesus begins to illustrate this with this story that he tells next, beginning in verse 16. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "Self, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said to himself, "Self, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my little old barns, and I'm going to build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods." Everybody say, "My grain,
my grain,
my goods."
My goods.
It's all mine. "And I'll say to myself, self, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. So self, take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. So I love what Jesus does in this little parable, this little story that he tells. See, a lot of times we see the outward actions of people. We see their behaviors. But what we see in this one is we actually get to hear the inner conversations that are going on in this man's brain. So you picture this man, and he's kind of sitting in his office at the farm. And his field help bursts in the room and says, "Boss, great news. This year, it's a bumper crop. Man, we have so much. This is awesome. We have more than we've had in a long time. This is awesome, isn't it?" And you see the boss just sitting there saying, that's really good news. But what we know here is that there was this inner conversation going on. And on the inside, this guy is going, "Woohoo!" You know, he's like, "This is it. My ship has come in. This is what I've always been waiting for. This is it." And so there's three things that we get to hear the inner thoughts of this man that comes out in this story, this self-talk. They're almost like little cartoon bubbles, boop, little thought bubbles. So the first thing of this self-talk that we hear from this man is that he says, "I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get rid of my old barns." He said, "Now that I think about it, they were way too small after all. And I'm going to build bigger ones in their place." Here's the translation. Thought bubble. Boop. "I am not content with what I have." There's a discontent. See, he was not satisfied with what he already had. He already had barns. He already had grain. But there was this element of discontent that we hear through this self-talk. The second thing that he says is, "I need these bigger barns so I can cling to what is mine." This is mine. Everybody say mine. This is my resource. And here's the translation. "I need to cling to everything I can." See, do you see how Jesus is painting this picture of this natural way of thinking? That this is the way that the world thinks. This is the world's values about looking at resource and treasure. Not being content with what I have. And I need to cling to everything I can. The third thing is he says, is this. "Man, what I stored up will allow me to lead the easy life." Translated, parte, 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 me, me, me. That's the translation. That's what's in the thought. This is all for me. Come on, this is all for me. Man, all this resource has been poured out. This is for my consumption. This is for the easy life. That's why all this resource is here. See, that is a natural way of looking at treasure and looking at resourcing. But now we see this divergent pathway, and God is going to begin to show us what it's like to go in this other path by looking at the brokenness of this man's thinking. Now, I like what Jesus does here. He kind of cheats because this is Jesus, who is God, telling us in a story what God is saying. So this is like, this would be like me as a daddy taking my three kids and saying, "Let me tell you three a story. There was these three very naughty children who took crayons out and drew all over the walls. And then daddy came home. Do you know what daddy said?" So I love what Jesus is doing here. He's like talking in the third person here. He's saying, "Here's what God said about this foolish farmer." And the first thing he said is, "You're a fool. You fool. It's like, wow, does God really say things like that? Evidently, he does. And guess what he meant when he said, you fool? He really meant, you fool. Do you know what that word means? I looked it up, but it literally means lacking mental sanity and a common sense perception of reality. Jesus is going like, you really don't get how this works, do you? Like, your view is so broken. This natural pathway of thinking that all this resource is for you to enjoy, for it's all about you, 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 party, 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 easy life. You really don't get it, do you? And I'm glad that God does that here. He shows us the brokenness. He doesn't just like, well, you know, I can see how maybe you came up with this idea. You know, you had some lean years and now it came in for you. And so now I can see, I understand. I understand how you think this is all about you. No, God just says, you fool. Here's the translation. Greed is cray cray. That's what God is saying here. You're cray cray. You're crazy to think that this is what life is really about. Remember, life is not about the abundance of your possessions. You have missed it. You are thinking foolishly. Then the second thing that we see that God says is that, hey, guy, tonight you're going to die. Then who is going to benefit from all your things? Not you. Not you. Now here, I want to tell you something just pastorally that I believe about this. I don't think that God was saying in the story, you're going to die because you are greedy. If that was the case, if like all greedy people died, well, there wouldn't be very many of us in this room right now if all greedy people died. See, what I think that God was getting at is actually in the second part of that phrase there. Hey, you're going to die tonight. So then what is going to happen with all of your possessions? All that stuff you thought was so important, all those things that you accumulated, all of that natural thinking that led you to this kind of greed mentality, what's the end? Bro, what is the end result? I think that that's what God was getting at. Because see, here's what happens. While we are living, or actually we could even say while those resources are in our hands and under our control, what are we going to do with them? See, once they're gone, whether we've died or whether we just like spent it all, it's gone, we lose the opportunity to participate in the kingdom. We lose the opportunity to participate in the very activities of God. We lose the opportunity to be a blessing with those resources to God and to others in need. Here's the translation. Greed robs you your chance to be a blessing. It robs you. Greed, trying to hold on to that which we can never hold on to forever anyway. It robs us of this chance to actually be this flow of blessing and resource to those around us. And Jesus is going to talk a little bit more about that later in Luke 12. The third thing, he says, this is the same for everybody. Everybody who tries to gather wealth and resource without being rich toward God, it's the same way for everyone. I believe the translation is this. Greed is actually robbing from God. See, what happens is this. God has given us this channel of resource. Is that farmer? You know, he worked the land, he stewarded the land, but who was the one that brought the increase? It was God. He didn't make those little kernels of wheat, you know, do all their little catalytic things and create little baby wheats. No, that was all God's design. God is the one who brought the increase. And so actually he's saying, hey, if you're not rich to God with those things that I bring as increase, you're actually robbing me. So one, it's foolish thinking. God saying, hey, if you go down this natural pathway of thinking about resourcing, it's completely broken. It's a bit insane, because that ain't how life works. And guess what? It ain't all for you. I've given this resource to be a blessing and resource stream for others as well. It's not just about my grain and my stuff, my money. No, it's meant to be resourcing others as well. And ultimately, greed is actually robbing God. If we're not rich toward him and go towards his plan and his purposes in our life, it's actually robbing from God. So then Jesus goes on. He moves from this story, this little parable, and he says several important things, and we're going to go through them. It's going to be a little bit quick. Are you with me? All right. Verse 22. But each thing that Jesus said, I want to tell you, is super important. So we're not skipping around in this passage. We're actually going to march right through it, because everything he says is really critical for our understanding now as he begins to show us this other way, this supernatural path of resource. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, so all this story that I just told, right, and all the self-talk and God talk that we just heard, therefore, I tell you, do not worry. I'm so glad he started there. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, or about what you wear. Hey, life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. I don't think he's talking football here, by the way. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Do you capture what he's saying here? Do you remember how he just talked about the guy with the storeroom and the barn? He's always doing this contrast. Remember we just talked about this natural pathway and this foolish farmer? He's saying, now listen, I want to paint a contrast to you. Talking about birds. See, they don't have a storeroom, they don't have a barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? He's not saying the birds are of no value. He's just saying, you are so precious. You are so valuable. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? See, in these verses, Jesus continues to paint this picture of this fork in the road, going down a natural pathway or going down a supernatural one, framed by God's view and his intentions. And first, Jesus urges us, do not worry. See, this is a very important distinction, because I believe that the natural path, guess what it leads to? Worry. See, if we go down this natural pathway, the reason we worry is because if I go down a natural pathway when I'm thinking about treasure and resource, is because I am the one who has to care for all of my own needs. It's about me. So when I'm in lack, when there's not enough, there's fear that creeps into my heart. There's not enough. What am I going to do? And when there's plenty, like with the farmer, hey, this is all for me. But a lot of times there's not the bounty. There's not the plenty. And so our lives get filled with worry when we take that natural path. But God is saying, when we think about our resourcing down this natural path, just like, hey, those birds that I feed, those birds that have enough to eat, guess what? They don't have storerooms. They do not have barns. But he says this, yet God feeds them. I love that phrase, yet God. Whew. See, I think we need to have a yet God outlook on life. If we turn toward that supernatural pathway of believing in God and his plan and his intention for our resourcing, I believe that we get led by this yet God type of attitude. God, I don't know where it's all going to come from. God, when I look at my bank account, I don't know how it's all going to work out. yet God. Yet God. God, when I'm dealing with something of brokenness in my own physical body, when I'm sick, when I've been diagnosed with something, I can remember it, yet God. See, God is my source, like we looked at last week. God is my source. Even when I don't realize what he's doing behind the scenes to work on my behalf, I can trust in him, just like the birds do. They don't store all their stuff up. God just provides for them supernaturally. So he starts, do not worry, and says you need to have a yet God outlook on life. And then he goes on in verse 26. Since you cannot do this very little thing, he just said you can't even add an hour to your life by worrying. You can't even do that little thing. Why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. So he moves from one natural thing, birds, to this other natural illustration of flowers. Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, who was one of the richest kings in all of Jewish history, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? See, this is an issue of faith. That's why Jesus puts that right in there. Hey, everybody. All my disciples, he's saying, you guys are walking in such little faith here. So I want you to understand something. It doesn't take faith to go down that natural pathway, because it's all about my ability to make it all work for myself. Now, it's filled with fear and it's filled with worry because I don't have that attitude of yet God. But it takes faith to trust him for the supernatural resourcing that he wants to bring and make available to our lives. It takes faith to believe and go down the supernatural pathway. But Jesus is saying, hey, remember the birds, how they're fed? Remember the flowers, how beautifully they are adorned and clothed? He says, I did that. Remember that was me. Look around and see my supernatural work. I want to slow that phrase down for you for a second. God is saying, would you look around the world around you and look at my supernatural work? Supernatural. He takes the things that we just view as just commonplace and ordinary, the natural things in life, but he goes, no, this has my touch on it. I designed the way that all of this would work. The beauty that we see all around us on the Central Coast, you know, after it's rained and the grass comes out and the flowers are in bloom, and we just look at that and go, yeah, isn't nature pretty? And God's saying, hey, would you remember that that's my handiwork? I did all that. It ain't just natural. It is super natural. See, he's saying, when you even just look around at the birds and when you look around at the flowers and the fields and how I care for them, how beautiful they are, that they don't go hungry, can you see that that's my handiwork? See, I believe God's saying this because it's like just even looking out into our natural world should inspire our trust in him. That God, if you can do that for the natural world around us, and you say that you value me, even at a higher level than the birds and the flowers, that God, that I can trust you with my life and my resourcing as well. Jesus, increase our faith. Increase our faith. that I wouldn't take it upon myself to go down this natural path, but God, that I would trust you supernaturally. And then he says this in verse 29. He says, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things. I love this. And your father knows you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. And I love it. Again, here's that path that splits, this fork in the road. And he says, man, the pagan world, those who are just set on the natural, he says they are running down that path. They are chasing after greed and resource in ways that it's, because it's all about me, so I'm having to run really hard to chase after those things. But he says, don't set your heart down that path. Here's what you need to set your heart on. It says, seek God's kingdom. See, God's kingdom represents his intention for the way the world should work. His kingdom represents his values, his outlook. And the beautiful thing is that we see Jesus ushering in the kingdom of God. Now, it's not all fulfilled yet. See, we won't see the fulfillment of God's kingdom till he comes back again one day, which he has promised to do. He has promised that he is coming back. And at that time, he will be in rule and reign over every single thing, over every single part of nature, every single heart, right? But now we're in this in-between space. We're in this in-between where the kingdom of God is broken into the world, but it is not yet fully realized. We ain't all the way there yet. It ain't cooked to the center yet. You know what I'm saying? See, the kingdom of God is present. Jesus brought in his kingdom presence that we get to participate in, but it's like right now it's our choosing to say, God, we want to do it your way instead of the old world's way. God, we choose to go down this supernatural path rather than choosing to run down this natural one. So he's saying, seek the kingdom. That's what we need to set our hearts upon. And he says this beautiful thing here. When you seek the kingdom, guess what, guys? God knows what you need. Your needs do not catch me by surprise, God's saying. I know what you need. I know you need food on your table. I know you need clothes on your back. I know you need a roof over your head. I know what your needs are before you even know them. See, when you were at sleep last night, God was thinking about you because he never sleeps and he never slumbers. God was checking out your bank account. He was looking in your refrigerator to see what you need. God knows what you need before you even know that you need it. And he's reminding us again, what are you chasing after? What path are you running down? Because he says, seek the kingdom, and all these things, all that you need, is going to be provided to you. And then this last thing that he says, don't be afraid. Verse 32-34, don't be afraid, little flock. So tender, you know? In the third person, he says, you fool! You fool! But now when he's just talking to his people, he just says, don't be afraid, little flock. He's just like he's putting his arms around them, saying, hey, kids, it's going to be okay. Don't be afraid to take my pathway here. Don't be afraid. For your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. See, our father's the king. And he wants to give you all the things of his kingdom. So he says, when you realize this, when you realize how good this is, he says this. He says, you can sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out. I like that, purses that don't wear out. I've discovered that even really expensive purses wear out. Ha-han. Right, babe? Hey, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So he finishes this idea here by saying, listen, remember, guys, if you go down this natural path, it could be filled with fear. But he says, you don't have to have fear. When you go down a supernatural pathway regarding your finances and resources, you don't have to walk in fear. In fact, you are going to be so free from fear, you're going to be able to just take out your wallet and go to others and say, what do you need? He says, sell your possessions and give to those in need. Give to those who are poor. So I love that. Let me tell you again, this is supernatural. Supernatural. In the natural, I cling to my wallet. What? You ain't taking anything in here because it is mine. I worked for it. It is my money because that is the path that I chased down. I worked really hard. I ran really fast to get what I have. But see, down the supernatural path, it's very different. It's actually the opposite. See, because I realize that all that is in here, not much today, but all that is in here, see, I recognize that my resourcer is God himself. And because of that, I know that he has the power to replenish everything that I need because he tells me, he just told me, I know what you need. I know what's in your wallet before you know what's in your wallet. So you don't need to walk in fear. In fact, I want to set you free. I want to set you free. See, greed is this clinging mentality of trying to hold on to everything that I have. But he said, man, I want to set you free from that. It is so much more fun to live with open hands and hands of blessing than it is to try to hold on to things we can't hold on to anyway. They're going to be gone anyway. Whether it's the coroner showing up, or the bill collector, or what he says, the thief or the moth, right? Those things are all just things that are going to be destroyed. They all burn. But boy, he said, when you enter my plan, remember how I, earlier in that God talk, earlier in that little illustration we saw, that greed robs our opportunity to be a blessing to others? He's saying, when you come down my path, you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live with this anxiousness, this worry. So you get to be now free. To be a giver. Sell what you have. Give to the poor because you can trust in me to be your resource. Generosity is greater than greed. Generosity unlocks us from that fear. From that anxiety and worry about my resource. Because I know who my resourcer is. I know where my increase comes from. So I can live free. God knows what I need. He's going to take care of me. And you know, and this is not some pitch for you to give more money in the offerings. You will notice that we didn't decide to do this series, and so we're going to do the collections at the end of service because we're going to really whip you into this frenzy and say, let's be generous, let's be givers. No. It's much bigger than that. See, it's growing in our discipleship where we realize which pathway am I going down when it comes to my finance? And it's really important because the direction that I go, my heart is going to be drug along behind. And if I find myself far from God, maybe it's possible that it's because when I even look at how I organize my resources and when I look at my checkbook, how I've organized my life, I realize that I've been going down this path where it's about me, me, me. And God's inviting us to this other pathway of saying, will you trust in me? And trust that the reason that I've even given you resource is so that you can live free and be a resource to others.